Faye's going to go get the children when we go to observe the Lord's Supper for us. Let's be going to James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 17 and go through verse 21. And we're working our way through the book of James, practical Christianity, or faith in action. And these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians, had a lot of problems and didn't seem to be working out for them. And they weren't working out their salvation that God had wrought in them. So he, the book of James, the half-brother of our Lord, writes a little epistle to these Hebrew Christians about how this thing should work. And so that's what we see in the book of James now. Remember, last week we saw in verses 19 through 27 of James chapter. Am I on the right verse? Let's see. Yeah. Well, tonight we see in verses 19 through 27. We're not going to look at all at one setting, but we're going to see the believer's responsibility to the Word of God and how we ought to listen to the Word of God. We ought to, number one, hear it. Number two, obey it. And number three, share it. Tonight, we're just going to look at hear it so we won't be deceived. Notice verse 22 of chapter 1. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we need to, even true believers can be deceived, and mere professors of Christ certainly can be deceived, and we don't want to be deceived in our Christian walk. Now, let me share with you something that I haven't shared with you yet in the book of James as we're going our way. Here in this epistle, in this passage here, we see the third test of a believer, and that's his response to the Word of God. Last week, we saw in verses 2 through 12, we saw the first evidence that we're saved is our response, if you will, to trials. Trials make Christians stronger and strengthen our faith, and they don't run us away from God. They run us to God. And then we looked at the second evidence of a believer, and that's our response to temptation in verses 13 through 18. But tonight we want to look at verses 19 through 21 and talk about the Christian in the Bible, or how to listen to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that's lost its way in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a true statement. Hunger for the Word of God is evidence of genuine salvation. Because when God saved you, He placed the Word in your heart, and a desire for the Word of God. Now, it can be stifled. It can be filtered by the world and all that. But there is some kind of hunger for the Word of God and to grow as a Christian. So tonight, we're going to look at three responsibilities toward God's Word, starting with hear it. Very short outline, right? Is it on the board? Hear it. Next week, obey it. And then next week, share it. So let's begin to look at this. And let's stand, if you will, and let's begin in verse 17 and go through verse 21 as we talk about the believer hearing the Word of God. And you know, there's an art to hearing, right? I need to apply myself more. So sometimes I don't listen because I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. Are you there? Or my mind is not focused on what they're saying, and therefore that's why I got to ask you again what the doctor said or where they're going or whatever, see? Because I'm thinking when I should be listening. And then after I listen, then I should process it and then respond to it. Now notice verse 17. Remember, the earlier verses talked about sin leading to death and how sin begins and works in our heart, even as believers. But in verse 17, it talks about the positive. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Everybody get that? Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, this is where you get into trouble if you take verse 19 out of its context and you make it apply to something else. The application here is in response to the Word of God. He says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, if we get angry and we get, we're not showing righteousness. We can't show Christ if we have an angry spirit under an angry heart. But then notice verse 21, that's the key verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Boy, that's King James, isn't it? And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Father, I pray tonight as we listen to this message about how to listen to the word of God, may we apply this. May we be attentive listeners. May we be listening intently when we hear the word of God, whether it's on the radio, whether it's in this pulpit, whether it's Brother Ray, whether it's one of the other Sunday school teachers, wherever it might be, wherever we go, if we go to a revival service, if we go to whenever we hear the word of God, may we be good and excellent hearers of the word. So teach us tonight from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Believer has three responsibilities to the word of God. First of all, tonight, hear it. And I've only got 2 points as we look at this passage here. Number one, the believer receives the word, okay? And the believer, number two, hears the word of God, and there's a difference. So let's look at the first one. The believer receives the word of God, and we saw that in verses 17 and 18. We have been born again by the word of God, the engrafted word. We heard the gospel. We were convicted of our sins. We repented and placed our faith in Christ alone. And God's Spirit, through the gospel message, through the word of God, did a work of salvation in our heart. Notice that word, engrafted word there, if you will. Look in verse, what verse, where's it at? Somebody tell me. Huh? 21. The engrafted word. Received with meekness the engrafted word. What does that word mean, the engrafted word? Well, it means the implanted word. The word of God has been planted in your heart. When you got saved and you got that divine nature and you got that Spirit of God in your heart and you got Jesus in your heart, you have the engrafted word. The word of God has been sown in your heart. Somebody, as Brother Marcus said, somebody invited you to church, but some way you heard the gospel, right? You heard about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And God did a work of conviction in your heart and engrafted word in your heart. And it fell on good ground. You remember the parable of the sower? And we see it in Matthew 13. And this helped me years ago when I understood this. There's 4 kinds of hearts out there. You have the sower, you have the seed, and you have the soul. Now, I can't determine what soul my witness falls on, but I can determine to be a good, faithful sower. And the picture, remember, in biblical days is the sower with the bag of seed on his shoulder here going out. And if you read that parable in Matthew chapter 13, going out and spreading the seed at random, not trying to target it over here or just drop it right over here, but going out and casting the seed as they go. And that's a faithful sower of the word. That's what we should be, right? You don't have to give them a Bible course in 5 minutes. All you got to do is share the seed with them, the gospel message. In fact, that parable talks about 4 responses to the gospel message, the initial hearing of the word of God. And it fell on 4 kinds of souls, or 4 kinds of hearts. The souls represent the hearts. So we don't go out and say, well, that's stony heart. I'm not going to mess with that. Or that's a hard heart. They ain't going to do nothing. As Brother Marcus said, just keep on keeping on, being faithful. You know, if they rejected our Lord, amen, they're going to reject us, right? And you got to get over it. And you just got to continue to be faithful as we go out. And just sow the seed at random, wherever you're at, workplace, play, recreation, wherever you might be, and even in the church. Sow the seed at random, and it'll fall on 1 of 4 hearts. Remember that parable? And we're talking about receiving the word of God, the implanted word. It falls on a hard heart. That's the hard path, the beaten down path. That's the road of religion. That's the road of the broad way to heaven. Everybody thinks they're going there, but they're on the hard path here, and it does not receive the word of God, and they bear no fruit whatsoever. And then there was a shallow heart. You remember that? It came into the soul, and it popped up for a little while. There was great emotion. There was no depth. Therefore, it bore no fruit. And when persecution came into their lives because of the word of God, it just withered away. Many people are in that camp here, just shallow hearts. They might have walked an aisle and made a profession of faith, and we even baptized them. But things never changed in their life. It was shallow ground. And then I like to call the next one the crowded heart in Matthew 13. They lack repentance, true repentance. The sin in their life choked out the word, and it was unfruitful. And then the only one that really received the word of God to be saved was the good fertile ground, the fruitful heart, if you will. They received the word of God. And you go back and read this. I hate to give you this passage in such a long way, but it does illustrate what I'm talking about the implanted word. See, I don't go out, when I cast seed, I don't say, well, that's good ground. I'm going to make sure I get a whole bunch over there. No, you just cast it out, right? You just sow the seed, sow the gospel. That's what the seed is. And then it's some of it is going to land on a good, fertile ground, the Bible tells us, and it's going to bear fruit. And some 30, some 60, and some 100. The word of God bore fruit in your life as somebody sowed the gospel in your heart, right? Because you're here tonight, okay? So it landed on 30, 60, or 100. Now, what do you mean? Am I a 30-fold Christian? Am I a 60-fold Christian? Or am I a 100-fold Christian? Some people, I even heard this, said, well, all I ever be is a 30-fold Christian, so you just got to get over it, preacher. All I ever be is a 30-fold Christian. No, that's different degrees of fruit bearing, okay? That's another way of saying that, okay? God intends for all of us, in John chapter 15, to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, right? But there is fruit. If there's no fruit, no root. Y'all have heard that before. I've told you that before. In fact, you're probably tired of hearing it. But there is different levels of fruit bearing, but every Christian bears fruit. See, that is the final test of salvation, is if I have a changed life, is there fruit? Can people look at me and tell that God has done a work in my heart, right? Is there a work of faith coming out into my heart? And we're going to get into that more when we get into James chapter 2. Can a man have faith and have not works? And we'll look at that. So every believer receives the word of God. The scriptures are involved in every genuine salvation. If you're saved tonight, you're saved only by the convicting power of the word of God through his spirit as the word was sown in your heart. Amen? There is no other way to be saved. You don't come into the kingdom by osmosis. You don't come into the kingdom because you was carried for 9 months in your mother's womb. You come into the kingdom by hearing and responding in a positive way to the gospel. We all agree with that, right? There's no other way. I don't care what you have claimed to see or hear or heard. There's no other way than responding in a positive way to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation without conviction. You must be convicted that you are a sinner and you're on your way to hell and you're condemned. You stand deservingly condemned to go to hell without the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And the word of God cannot work in our hearts unless we receive it the right way. Remember when Jesus said on one occasion, he says, take heed to what you hear. We ought to, when we listen to a message, we ought to take heed to what's being said, if it's from the word of God. And many have been under the teaching of God's word, but they never took heed. And there's never any response. There's never any evidence that they received the word as from God and not man and applied it to their life. And when hard times come in our life, we respond just like the world. I don't have to tell you that. You know, how many of you here are on Facebook? Raise your hand. All right, don't be ashamed of it. How many of you here hear and see out there how people react to theology and to the things of God? Boy, you can hear some weird stuff, can't you? But yet they claim the name of Christ. It's unbelievable. I don't know if they haven't been taught or if they're just one of those that are dull of hearing, but you hear some of the most stupid things out there in regards to the Word of God. People as a whole are biblically ignorant of what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says. And y'all come across it. You share with me what you see and hear on Facebook. It's unbelievable. And that's why I'm not on Facebook. I'll be done made 800 enemies in 5 minutes. If I would be done defriended, whatever friends I have. In fact, I don't have but two friends outside of my family. And two real friends. Amen? All these superficial, shallow people that want to be your friend. Listen, that's a bunch of hogwash. Everybody only has, really, on the average, three friends in their life. Now, so this leads me to my second point. We don't want to be dull of hearing. We receive the word. We receive the implanted word. And guess what? That word is in your heart for a reason, to make you like Christ. Amen? And as you obey it, you grow more like Christ as the Spirit takes that word and begins to conform you to the image of His Son. God has placed His word, His implanted and grafted word in your heart for a reason. Okay? So that's the first one. Secondly, not only does the believer receive the word, but in verses 19 through 21, the believer hears the word. And we saw that in verse 21. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And again, what we're going to be talking about here in verses 19 through 21 is the context is how we listen to the word of God, how we hear the word of God. Now, you can take that verse, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, that applies to politicians. No, it applies to believers, how they listen to and hear the word of God. Notice verse 19. What's the first thing we do? Number one, be swift to hear. You see it there in verse 19? My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we believers should be quick and prompt and eager and ready to hear what God says through His word. Ah, man, another preaching service. You ought to just say, man, I get a chance to go hear the word of God. I get a chance to read the word of God. And even in your own private Bible study, what a great opportunity to open this book. This is the mind of God. And you open it up and you're reading the mind of God for the past, present, and future, right? And finding His will for your life. We should be quick and prompt and ready. And then we must be careful listeners. And that's my problem many times. I'm not a careful listener, right? Faye would tell me to do something, and then 10 minutes later I say, what did you say? Does that ever happen to you, ladies? All right, let's be honest tonight, right? And she only gets my attention by standing in front of the TV, right? In that regard, we ought to be careful listeners. Now, I'm going to try to do better with this. You tell me something, then I'm going to repeat it back to you. Say, Brother Ken, I'm going March the 8th for a test. Okay, now you said you were going March the 8th, correct? You see what I'm saying? Be careful listeners. And same thing with the Word of God. We ought to be ready to hear, and we ought to be teachable. If we're not teachable, we're just whistling Dixie, you know? We're playing a game. We're not going to grow. The work of God through His Word is not going to do His work in our heart. If we're not teachable, I run across people that think they've been taught everything there is. And I feel sorry for them because I continue to grow. I continue to know more about the Word of God every day. And we should have a desire to take advantage of every opportunity to hear the Word of God, whether it's in Sunday school, whether it's in preaching or other occasions where the Word of God is proclaimed, or maybe a personal Bible study. We ought to be eager and ready and careful to listen to the Word of God. And then honor the Word of God as from God and not man, Paul tells us. And don't try to twist it and give it your own little slant, your own little interpretation. Don't move from a clear presentation of the Word of God to your own opinions and your own biases. Now, you may not believe this, but I've actually, in my ministry, I've had people, more than you know, tell me, Brother Ken, I heard that, and I know that's what the Word of God says, but I think this way, and I'm going to do it this way. Man, I've heard people tell me that more than anything in the world. And, you know, it gets me so frustrated because I want to beat it into their head. But they hear the Word of God very plainly on Sunday, but yet they go out and say, well, this is what we're going to do. I know it's not biblical, but we're going to do it anyway. And y'all, I don't tell y'all all these things. And I mean, it happens quite often in my ministry. What am I supposed to do about that? Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Because if they're not teachable, then there's nothing I can do about it, right? In that regard. So we ought to honor the Word of God as from God, not men. Don't twist it. Another thing I run across in the ministry is people, the Word of God will be plain about it, but they twist it to say, well, to fit their lifestyle and allow them to live their lifestyle without coming under the condemnation of God, they think. So they twist Scripture. And little it's in there somewhere. And they begin to twist it, make it say what they want to, so they can feel comfortable. You know, I can't tell you the number of loved ones that are going to heaven because their parents or their grandparents have twisted Scripture to allow them to go there. And y'all know what I'm talking about. So we ought to accept it and don't argue with it. See, you're not arguing with the pastor, you're arguing with God, right? He wrote it. So we ought to be swift to hear or be slow to speak. I guess that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? We ought to be slow to speak. And Lord knows I've got a lot of work in that area too as well. But the context, again, renders itself to the Word of God, clearing our minds of our thoughts and listen to the Word of God and make the correct application. When time comes to speak, we should speak the truth in love and speak in a clear, bold way. We should use it to edify our brother. You know, one fallacy that's fell in the church is, well, if you ain't got something good to say about anything, don't say it. Well, there's times you've got to rebuke. There's times you've got to correct. There's times you have to confront, see? And because that's for their edification. They're not going to be edified unless they hear the truth and are corrected in that way. So often we argue with God's word, silent in our hearts. We sit there. I know I've been there. Metaphorically, I folded my arms and says, I don't care what you say, preacher. That's your interpretation. I'm tired of hearing that too. No, if you rightly divide the Word of God and illumination of the Holy Spirit and apply the correct principles of interpretation, it's not my interpretation, it's God's interpretation, amen, of that passage here. So the believer hears the Word of God. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. And then notice what it says in verse 19, also slow to wrath. Again, it leads itself to not being angry at God or His Word. And I'll be bold to say this, if you're angry at me and I'm preaching the Word, it's in the Word, to be angry at me is to be angry at God, right? And you're angry at the messenger who's rightly dividing the Word of truth. He's not now, I mean, it's a different thing here. But when the Word exposes our sin, we should not get angry, but what? Repent, right? And I have to do that quite often. And I don't broadcast it. Lord convicts me all the time. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You ever been around anybody and maybe you were the one that's going to set them off that day and you didn't know it and you say something, man, they just flare up like a match, right? Where did that come from? Right? It's been building, it's been simmering, and you just happen to strike it the right way, right? We can't get angry at God. We can't get angry at His Word, because we're not going to grow. If we're angry Christians, we're not going to grow as Christians. Remember Peter, he was slow to speak. I mean, he was slow to hear, wasn't he? And he was swift to speak. Lord, I'll die for you, right? And he was swift to anger when he tried to split the Malchus's head open, right? And that's not the way we ought to be. Short tempers and hasty words are the cause of many church fights. People say things they ought not say. But the sad thing is it keeps happening and happening and happening. You ever said anything and you said, man, I wish I hadn't said that. But it's been said. You ask forgiveness, but they don't never really forgive you, right? We need to be very careful. We ought to be slow to wrath. And again, I'll tell you the truth here. Man's anger does not produce righteousness. James chapter 1, verse 20. It does not produce righteousness. Now, verse 21 tells us how to prepare the heart. Look at that. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. We've got to lay aside. We've got to repent. That's what was the metaphor there. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness. So you lay it apart, and then you receive. You're ready to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Someone said that James here sees the human heart as a garden. If a garden is left unattended, it's going to have weeds all over it, right? And that's the way the heart is. Superfluity of naughtiness. What does that mean? Well, it speaks of an abundance of wickedness. And we need to lay it aside. We can't receive the word of God with our bunch of weeds in our garden. See what I'm saying? And I believe there's a healthy discussion of scriptures. Certainly we can have that. Preachers have that all the time. But we don't want to become argumentative. And if we become argumentative, we want to make our case in the scripture, not in personality. This is what happens in marriages, right? When you begin to attack your spouse's personality or your spouse's ancestry or mother or father, you ain't getting nowhere, right? When that happens, keep it to the principles there. So we might be, by our attitude, planting weeds in people's heads, if you will, metaphor, and it's really hurting them. Now, how do we prepare our hearts? Well, let me give you three ways very quickly. By confession of sin. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by." So we lay it aside, right? You ain't listening to a word I say tonight if you haven't laid it aside. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's interesting here that these words here speak of moral vice or, and I did a really deeper word study on this, it speaks of earwax. A lot of Christians have earwax in their head, right? And they can't hear the word of God. They haven't laid anything aside. And what this earwax does and what this sin does, it impedes our spiritual hearing. And therefore we hear what we want to hear. And we make up what the preacher said, right? And so I make enough mistakes grammatically without you trying to make up stuff, right? But it impedes, sin impedes us. We cannot grow unless we confess sin. And you know what confession means. It means to agree with God about what the Bible says about that sin, right? And we talked about that some in the past. Secondly, by confessing our sins, but secondly, by meditating on God's word. What do you meditate about? What do you think about? Ask God to teach you and correct any wrong behavior or belief that you have. When you come here on Sunday morning and sit down and say, "Lord, you know I've had a bad week, and you know I haven't been the kind of person I ought to be, and I confess it right now. And I pray you give me a desire for your word. And I pray that you teach me from your word. I pray that you give me spiritual understanding, illuminate my spiritual understanding to the word of God tonight." So we pray for meditating on God's word. And then thirdly, and this is a big one, have humility. Have humility. You haven't learned everything and I haven't learned everything. We'll never arrive. Paul said that himself. He says, "I have not attained to that which Christ laid hold of me." And if the Apostle Paul hadn't done it, I got news for you. You haven't either, right? We have not reached the point that God intends us to be. Our pride, our hardness, and our sin makes us unresponsive and unreceptive to God's word. We need to have an attitude when it comes to what God's word, have an attitude of humility. And the passage might have just wrecked everything you thought about yourself on Sunday morning, but you need to have humility and say, "God, I confess my sins and I repent of my sins and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and Lord, I want to walk in obedience." As you got to have humility. You can't be saved without humility, right? The Sermon on the Mount, we must receive the word of God, understanding we're sinners. And if you're not humble about that, you're not going to get saved. But we're not going to grow either with a spirit of haughtiness and pride in our heart. So the believer's first responsibility is to receive the word and then hear the word. And it never stops, does it? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, prepare your heart. Now you'll be ready for the next sermon next Sunday morning. You'll be ready to obey the word of God in verses 22 through 25. And we'll look at that next week. Okay? Faye, would you go get the kids and in that regard? And no invitation tonight.